Well, welcome to 2022. We all hope it's going to be a better year than 2021 or 2020, that we might finally see this virus declining to the point where it is to be regarded the same as the common cold or flu, because it is a sort of flu. We pray that as it continues to mutate, as it mutates, while it might become more infectious, that it might become less of a problem. This is what sometimes happens with viruses such as this one. We hope and pray that that will be the case. But at the start of a new year, it's always a good thing to look back upon the old year and to consider where we've come from. One of the things that Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 51 and the first two verses: listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. Look back, God is saying to the people of Israel, look back and remember your foundations. Where have you come from? Think about Abraham. Abraham was what? Abraham was a wandering Aramean. Abraham was chosen by God to be the progenitor of a great nation. Abraham was nothing, but God blessed him abundantly. And because Abraham believed God, that was credited to Abraham as righteousness. Abraham became righteous in the sight of God because he believed God. And that was true then, it was true before Abraham, it was true of Noah. But it's also been true of all those who have been part of the people of God ever since the time of Abraham. Many descended directly from Abraham, they learnt from Abraham. They learnt through the law that was given through Moses that they could never be good enough for God, and so therefore their only hope was to trust in God's provision. And so it is good for us to look back and to remember these things. We've been seeing these things as we've been going through Romans. And it's good to look back over the last year and to remember what we have been learning as we've gone through Romans. To remember the basic teachings of the scriptures, to take them to heart, to call them to mind on a regular basis. Looking back, look back also at what you have achieved in the last year. Look back beyond that. Think back to the day when you were converted, if you are converted. Look back and remember how you came to Christ. Look back and remember what God has done for you over that time since then up till now. Look back and look at all the blessings that you have received and the blessings you can continue to receive and the blessings we can have confidence in God that he will give to us. Not because we are worth it, but because Christ died for us. Look back and remember these things. How much have we grown in grace over the last year? How much more of the Bible do we know? How much more do we understand? How much are we relying more and more than we did a year ago upon God and his grace and mercy? But in looking back and seeing these things, and hopefully seeing that we have changed over the last year, that we have made progress in grace, we need to recognize that progress is not enough. We need to continue to make progress. Many people at this time of year make New Year's resolutions. They look back and they think, oh, made of a bit of a mess of those things, didn't I? I will make a resolution, or I will make several resolutions. I will stop eating chocolate because it's not good for me. I will stop doing this because it's not good for me. I'll stop doing that because it's not good for me. I will start doing this because it is good for me. I'll start doing that because it's good for me. And perhaps even to consider, I will stop doing these things towards other people because it's not nice. And I will start doing these other things to people because they are nice. And I should think more of others than I think of myself. One of the things that true believers are always thinking about is how they can resist and avoid sin. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for righteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." If you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are instructed what to do. Do not let sin reign. Sin will have no dominion over you, because you are not under law, but under grace. If sin dominates, if sin reigns within you, then you have to question whether you've been converted or not. Because the true believer will not let sin reign, but lets Christ reign in their hearts. And sin does not have dominion over them. Doesn't mean that they don't sin. Paul speaks of his own ongoing struggles with sin in the next chapter. But if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, sin does not dominate. We might have lapses, but those lapses cause us grief. We are ashamed of ourselves. We consider these things that happen to us because we give in to sin. But we are not to give in to sin. A Christian should never have to make a New Year's resolution saying, "I am going to stop sinning as far as I am able," because that should be their attitude all through the year, for every year, until that day when they are taken by God to eternal glory. Sin will have no dominion over you. One of the things that is an evidence that you have passed from death to life, one of the evidences that you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, is the fact that your life has been transformed and you continue to grow in grace. It's an evidence. It's not the only evidence, but it is an evidence. The danger is always that people put so much stress upon this that people think that if they change their lives, turn over a new leaf, make resolutions, that must be evidence that they're really converted. Sadly, there are some unconverted people who do that because they think by doing that, that proves they're believers when they're not believers. And it's very sad to discover people who say that they do all the right things and yet there is something missing in their hearts. And something missing in their hearts is the forgiveness of sins, because they have never truly repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we read in Amos chapter 8 and in verse 11 about God's judgment upon a society, specifically upon this society of Israel with their idolatry, with their shrines in the north and the south of the country, erected by Jeroboam the second. This was all encouraged by the kings You read the history of the northern kingdom of Israel after the division. After the division, the northern kingdom, called Israel, declined. It got worse and worse, more and more idolatrous. God sent prophets to warn them, to preach against their idolatry and their sinfulness. But in spite of great prophets coming and declaring God's truth, in spite of, on some occasions, great miracles being performed, such as with Elijah and Elisha, they refused to repent. And there may have been one or two believers within that society, but generally speaking, the northern kingdom declined until the Assyrians came and took them off. And we read no more in the pages of Scripture about the northern kingdom. It's very sad. But one of the judgments that came upon them in verse 11, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." And as we look around our society, we can see how our society becomes more degenerate, how our society departs from everything that God has said in the past. Morality, reality, is now determined by what people feel. It feels good to me, so therefore it's okay. And who are you to tell me that I'm wrong? They refuse to listen to the words of God. And it seems to be that God's hand of judgment is upon society. And this is true in so many places around the world. Thank God there are places where the reverse appears to be happening. And we pray that in this country the tide might be turned. But it will only be turned when God removes that hand of judgment upon society and there is once again a readiness to hear the word of God. And so we have to ask ourselves, do I hear what God says? And this is not just talking about once a week on a Sunday. This is talking about as many days of the week as is possible. Ideally, every day of the week. Ideally, several times a day during the week. We have in our hands the scriptures that God has graciously given to us. He has preserved them down through the centuries. He has caused it to be preserved. He has caused it to be translated. He has caused it to be translated into our language. In this country, we have universal education. The majority of people can read for themselves. The Bible at present is freely available. There are places you can go to hear it expounded and explained, such as here. Nobody has any excuse for not hearing the word of God. But the sad thing is, so few people do listen to the word of God. So few people do read the word of God. Indeed, as you may have heard in Roger Carswell's latest newsletter, there was an event at Durham Cathedral designed, I'll be corrected on this afterwards, I'm sure, for NHS workers. And Roger Carswell had been invited to speak. But the Dean of Durham Cathedral forbade it. They were quite happy for the gathering to go ahead, but not for Roger to preach. It's interesting because he says he had preached there before. So it seems that Durham Cathedral, perhaps just the Dean, but who knows, no longer believe what the Bible teaches about the need for salvation, which comes by hearing of the word of God. If the word of God is not preached, then what do people hear? What do they believe? Well, they believe anything. They believe whatever they choose to believe if they will not hear God. Will we hear God? Will we listen to what God has to say? What can we do? Well, first of all, we can read the scriptures for ourselves. So as every first Sunday in January, I'm urging you to attempt to read through the Bible in a year. If you haven't got the Bible reading plan, which is based very closely on the Evangelical Movement of Wales Bible reading plan, let me know, I'll let you have a copy. It takes you through the whole of the Bible in a year. It's approximately 4 chapters a day, sometimes 3 chapters a day, sometimes with longer chapters, such as Psalm 119. It's just one chapter. But it takes you through the scriptures, and it doesn't start in Genesis and go through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. So many people start reading the scriptures and they get to Leviticus and they grind to a halt. Leviticus is not the easiest book to read. It's heavy going, which is why you read Leviticus followed by Hebrews, because Hebrews gives a lot of explanation about what you find in Leviticus. So what it does is it takes you through Genesis, then it takes you through Matthew, and it jumps from Old to New Testament in order that you get what might be called a balanced diet. Now, for some people, you might find reading 4 chapters a day too much. It's not a race. It's not something that at the end of the year we can boast and say, I've read the whole Bible in a year. 1 year I managed 6 times. But I only managed to do that once. Why didn't I manage it the next year or the year after? Life is busy. There are commitments. There are duties and responsibilities. Some people find it very hard to fit in 4 chapters of the scriptures a day. Okay? 3 chapters a day. Or if you can't manage that, 2 chapters a day. Or if not that, 1 chapter a day. But read something every day. I remember a friend many years ago said sometimes he found it so difficult to read a chapter of scripture on a day. And so what he did, he got a copy of Daily Bread, which gives you a short selection of verses from the scriptures. And that can be read in 5 minutes. And he found that when he didn't have the time to just sit down, when he was busy, 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 he found he could find 5 minutes for reading a page of Daily Bread. You know yourselves. You know what you can cope with. You know what time is available. You know what you can do. You know whether you're able to read a little or a lot. So you can modify the reading plan to fit in with your own abilities. But do read. And if it takes you 3 years, 5 years to follow the plan to get through the whole scriptures, that's fine. But read the scriptures. Read what you can. Don't allow yourself to experience a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. And indeed, what it says here is hearing the words of the Lord. And there's another alternative. You're driving somewhere. Well, it's a bit difficult reading while you're driving. I did read in either yesterday's or today's paper that someone had been convicted of the crime of watching a film while he was driving. And you think, what? How can you concentrate on the road If you're watching a film, I'm not sure if it was one of these new cars that has a big screen and he was watching it on that, or whether he was holding his phone against the steering wheel as he was driving, but it's bonkers. But you can listen. Radios aren't banned from cars. You can get all of the scriptures on a phone. And you can sit in your car and you can set it going and you can hear the scriptures being read to you. And so even what might be considered dead time can be profitable. So wherever you're going, you can be fed by the Word of God. This is something I've said every year for I don't know how many years, but the encouragement to read the scriptures. And if you're going to make any resolution, and you're going to keep any resolution, make that one a top priority. Because reading the scriptures, hearing the scriptures, will change your life as you listen to what God has to say. Always remembering to remember the context in which things are said. To remember that some things have now passed away because Christ has come. But we need to understand the background for the coming of Christ. And the purpose for doing this is not so we can be clever and say, oh yes, well I know the Bible says this in such and such a place. But rather that we might know God and know him better. That we might know Christ and know him better. That is the purpose of gathering together. To encourage one another to know God more. To encourage one another to listen to God more. To encourage one another to obey God more. So as we look ahead to this year ahead, I hope and pray that we will listen to the Word of God. That we will allow it to fill our hearts and minds. That it will go deep within our beings. And it will be what dominates our lives. And that people might see us as those who know God. Those who love God. And those who seek in every way to serve God. And that in so doing, we might bring glory and honour to the name of the one who has been so gracious, merciful and loving and kind to us, that he sent his only Son, that we might be forgiven.